Hi, everybody. Welcome to Inside AWAI. I'm Katie Yackel, and I say this every time, but I am really excited about this one. And there just couldn't be a better time for it, I think, with everything that's going on. And today, we are going to be talking about creating a winning mindset for your writing career, but it's going to be for your whole life. You know, the things that we're going to be talking about really apply to everything. And it's just going to end up making not only your writing career more rich, but the whole experience around it. I'm thrilled to be joined by Pam Foster. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Katie. Hi, everybody. Hi, Ted.
Hey, Katie.
And Ted Capshaw. Hi, Ted.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Now, if you haven't met Ted yet, I have to tell you, Ted is our secret weapon. He has changed so much of the way AWAI functions and communicates and performs. I can't stress highly enough, I can't stress strongly enough how impactful Ted, and I try to tell you this every time I see you, but just how impactful the teachings and the lessons and the way you walk your walk and talk your talk and everything, it's been such a big help to Rebecca and me, as well as the whole team. And I'm just thrilled to be able to share you with our membership. So Ted, we call Ted our chief success officer, and that's what he's all about, is just helping you get the most out of your life, getting rid of obstacles, performing at your highest level. So, Ted, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. If I wasn't brown, you could probably see me blushing. Well, first of all, I'm Katie knows this, and I've articulated it to her, but even to the members on the online here and Pam, I'm more than grateful for the partnership I have with AWAI. And it's a great time of year to express gratitude. So first of all, happy holidays to everybody.
Yes.
First and foremost, I hope everybody, I know this time of year, and we are going to be talking about emotions today, oddly enough or ironically enough, but this time of year brings various emotions to various people depending on their life experience. And so I hope everybody has a chance to settle in. As Katie said, just slow down and express gratitude, but also settle into the various feelings that come along. So we're going to be talking about, as we talk here, to create a mindset to achieve freedom. I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on that one today. We're definitely going to talk about fear. I would say to you, in the 6 or 7 years that I've worked with AWAI and its members, this one, fear, is probably the number one thing that comes up in my discussions with members and even the employees at AWAI. This is the biggest one. 100% clarity on the real picture. We are going to be talking about settling into your reality today, your specific reality, and then we're going to take strategic action. Now, I'll be transparent here. If you've been on webinars with me before, this idea of taking strategic action may be redundant. And if you've also heard me say before, I'm unapologetically redundant on this one, because I think this is one of those absolutely best practices.
And
if you do this, that's right. And if you the refresher, and if you actually put it in action. So one of the things for me, it talks about action here being the operable word for me. It's always interesting to me working with people and groups of people over time. Yeah, Ted, I get what you're saying. Well, there's a difference between getting what I'm saying and actually doing it. And so we're going to touch on that towards the end of this webinar. And then hopefully, what I'd say about the Q&A, I'm grateful to have Katie and Pam as my partners on this webinar, because if you know me at all, I love the connection of the room. I feed off the energy of the room. And so they're giving me that connection on this webinar. But as far as this Q&A, my hope is that you will ask questions. You can type in the questions, and they're going to be looking at the Q&A. And we can make this as much of a discussion. I know we only have 45 or 50 minutes today, but that would be my hope. So if I'm saying something that strikes a chord or you disagree with or even agree with, can you put it on there? I see Katie's thing, but I can't see Ted. I just saw some comment up there.
Okay. Well, and I just want to know, I'm going to turn off my camera in a minute, and I will be in Q&A, and I'll answer what I can. But even if your question doesn't get answered right away, we'll save it for the end. Or if there's multiple questions, or if I just think it's a question that everybody would benefit from, if we have a little discussion about, I'm going to save it, and then we'll open it up. But just know that we're going to get to all the questions, and this is part of the what's so special and so unique and helpful about these types of webinars that we do about InsideAI. That's what Inside AWA. That's what makes them so valuable, is when we do have the real true interaction and exchanges of ideas and information. So I'm going to turn my camera off now, and I'll see you guys on the other side. But I might chime in. I'm not ruling that out.
Okay. And Katie already introduced you to Ted in her way. And just to follow the order of the slides we'd set up, I also, if you've never met Ted before, you really are up in for a treat, because he is one of the most dynamic and motivational leaders and coaches and facilitators I've encountered in, I don't even want to tell you how long I've been working in a marketing capacity over my long career in corporate America and all that stuff. Listen, I've heard from a lot of people who try to help, and Ted truly, truly is the most impactful one I've met. And I can't wait to hear how he covers this. I think it's valid for anyone, if you've been doing this for a while, or if you're brand new, this is your first time ever dipping your toe into the copywriting world, you want to follow his advice, because it's wonderful. So, you know, he really does help people live their dreams. So I just wanted to mention that before we dive into the subject.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay.
There I go, blushing again. All right. This idea of keys to a winning mindset. It's interesting, because Pam just mentioned this idea of motivation and whatnot. And, you know, I do give talks that I would hope that would be inspiring or motivating to people. And I think that when people talk about this idea of a winning mindset, oftentimes they are talking about that. They're talking about being motivated. They're talking about being inspired. They are talking about things like keeping a positive mindset. And I want to make a note here. I believe in all of that. I believe in rituals. As a matter of fact, I practice certain rituals in my own life. Rituals for me, not meaning like I'm lighting fires and whatnot, but rituals meaning like for me, I get up 45 minutes to 60 minutes before anybody in my house. I do my pour over coffee, and I kind of settle into the day. I set my intention. I'll send out some critical emails. And that sets my mind, right? And that idea of creating a mindset. But today I want to, you know, for lack of better terms, I want to take you into the deeper end of the pool when I think about mindset. And the reason I've kind of evolved in my own thinking and my own way of living, and frankly, the way I coach people, I do think there's merit to having a positive mindset. I also think there's merit to really discovering and thinking about the emotions that you have. So if you're anything like me, and I wish I could see your faces and raise your hand or whatever, but if you're anything like me, I'm an emotional being. Now, it's interesting to me that when I say that to some people, they say, no, I'm not emotional. No, you are. There's not a person walking this earth that doesn't have an emotion. And if you're like me, like most people, emotions oftentimes drive my action. So I want you to be settling into this idea that I'm not discounting the idea that you should be creating a winning mindset, that you should have rituals in your life. Some people say, when I get up and move in the morning, I have a better day because my mind's right, et cetera, et cetera. However, today I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on it, and I'm going to settle into this idea of becoming more aware of our emotions, because I think it's key to your emotions affect your mindset, which affects your actions. So if we move into the first slide, the first thing that I'll say is there are only four emotions. So oftentimes I'll sit with somebody and they'll say, no, I have all these emotions and whatever. I said, no, there's only four. From a psychological perspective, we only have four emotions. So some people say, no, I have 10, 12. Some people say I have hundreds. What I'll say to you is there's a lot of adjectives that go under these four buckets, but we only have four. And so I want to set the stage for becoming more aware of your emotions so you can lean into it. But I want to have you guys to have this context. So the first emotion, as Pam has up there, is joy and happiness. Now, joy and happiness is usually related to some sort of event. It has to do with connection with other human beings. But, you know, you think about the times, you think about weddings, you think about certain memories, or you think about connections you have. Joy and happiness is one of the first primary emotions. So the next primary emotion is sadness and pain. Sadness and pain is often connected to a loss. It's connected to some sort of thing that's happened in your life that has caused you grief, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody has expressed sadness and pain. And we're going to get into this one a little bit more because, again, when thinking about mindset, I think sometimes when people, and even people in my profession, they want to dismiss the conversation about sadness and pain and just go directly to, no, you have to have a positive mindset. And I'm here today to tell you that I think that's a big mistake. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more. But that's what I meant in the beginning when I said I want to take a little bit of a twist here. I could have easily got on here and said to you, no, you got to turn your frown upside down and all the rest of it. I think that's a critical mistake. And it's only something that I'm realizing more as I evolve in my work and in my life. So the next primary emotion down here is fear. Now, mentioned in my opening, I think this one, fear, is the most prevalent thing that comes my way from AWI members. And fear shows its face in many, many ways. But again, this idea of fear, I want you to settle into the fact that most people don't want to talk about it. And we're going to talk more about this idea of expressing your fears. But again, a lot of people in my profession, they don't want to spend time talking about fear. They want to talk about how to overcome fear. And that's a distinction that I want you guys to grab from me today. I'm not here to talk to you about overcoming fear. I'm actually going to propose that you lean into it slightly, or even more than slightly. And then the last emotion is anger. Now, here's what I want to start to propose for you. This is a model about emotional intelligence. So some of you may have heard this idea of EI, emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence in its simplest form is just this. Emotional intelligence is being aware of your emotions on the one level, and then secondly, how do you manage your emotions? So you'd be hard-pressed to try to convince me that this model and understanding your emotions and becoming more emotionally intelligent will not affect your mindset and therefore affect your actions. And so that's why I'm starting with this model, but I wish everybody was in the room with me, so I'm just going to run through this. I'd rather ask questions around this, but here's what I'll say to you. The interesting thing about us and the way we're wired and the way we've been raised, when I talk to groups of people and I ask the women in the room, were any of these told that you were supposed to suppress growing up? And oftentimes for women, they say, yeah, I wasn't supposed to express anger, right? Because if I would express anger, I would have been not ladylike. And in the corporate America and out there in the work world, women are not supposed to express anger because they'd be called a not so nice word, right? And for men, oftentimes we're told, and I have coached many hundreds of men that fall into this bucket, that when we were raised, and even today into the work in adult world, and this goes for women too, but we're not supposed to express sadness or pain or fear. And this is something that I want you to do, because I think that people are avoiding these conversations and going straight to joy and happiness. So I want you to, again, as I said in the beginning, this is a little bit of twist on this idea of really gaining a positive mindset. I'm not telling you to go wallow in your pain, but I am going to propose to you that you need to become more self-aware about the emotions that you have, your true emotions. So we could move to the next slide there, Pam. So what I'm going to propose to you is that you actually run towards your true emotions. And so oftentimes people, like, have you ever, and think about this, because I think people sort of embed this in as, but have you ever went to somebody and said, you know, I feel a little bit scared. So back to the, when I say little boys were raised up, oftentimes young men or young boys go to their father and say, you know, I was picked on today, or I felt scared on the playground. And the dad goes, get back on the playground, stick up for yourself. Again, he pushed that emotion away. And so what I want you to do is start to run towards your real emotions and be able to express them, even if, as Pam puts on here, it is fear. So again, I'm not here to tell you just overcome your fear or settle into a positive mindset. I think you actually have to settle into your fear and understand that it can be used as a motivator, but if expressed correctly, that it's actually going to empower you. So move on to the next slide here, Pam. This is an important one that I want you to grab, and I really want you to think about your interactions with loved ones or other people and really be introspective about how have you managed your emotions, particularly pain and fear. So when you suppress fear or pain, oftentimes it'll manifest, as this slide says, if you don't lean into it and you push it down, it will manifest itself as anger or humor. And I want you to think about this for a minute. So think about a time that you lashed out at somebody in anger, but the true emotion was fear or pain, right? The example that I would use for this is, if I did something to hurt my wife, I caused her pain, or I caused her fear that, God forbid, I was going to leave her, which is not happening, but she lashes out at me because she's angry. And then the result that she gets is now we're in a heated argument. Whereas if she would have expressed her true emotion is, I'm fearful, I probably would have leaned in and met her where she was and helped her through that emotion. So I want you to start to realize that when we suppress fear or pain, it manifests itself as anger. We don't get the result that we need to get. So here's what I bet. This really does come down to results. The second one here, which is an important one, this humor one, the other word next to this could simply be, when we suppress fear and anger, it turns into sarcasm. So I want you guys to think about this. How many times have you said, told a self-deprecating joke about yourself? Or how many times have you said, hey, how are you doing? And you said, I saw Pam raise her hand there. Somebody says, how are you doing? And you say sarcastically, I'm living the dream. I always use that one because people say that to me all the time. And I look at them, I'm like, so what's wrong? Right? So they say sarcastically, I'm living the dream. And then I say to them, well, what's wrong? Because you were just sarcastic. They're probably running around fearful that they're going to lose their job. Right? And so I really want you to start thinking about this, because this stuff is really powerful. When I said deep end of the pool, you know, I don't think it's rocket science what I'm throwing out to you. It's really not. But I don't think it's the conversation that most people are having with themselves or with people that have actually helped them in their life and their career. So the next part of this, and I hope everybody grabbed that and we can get to the Q&A at the end, but that idea of emotions, this next part that I'm going to talk about is the next part of mindset. And so again, this is not about jumping into the positive mindset and the rest of that. I agree with that stuff. But this is about stepping into the unknown, because I think the unknown is really what's in the way up here for many, many members at AWAI and Pam, Katie, myself, and the rest of the people that I come across every day. When the unknown, we sit there and we throw these narratives in our head, throw these narratives in your head. So really all I want to propose to you today is, when you recognize that you have an unknown in your life or a narrative or a story going on in your head, I want you to lean into that. So if you were to grab anything in this first couple minutes or this first 10 or 15 minutes from me on this webinar, I want you to remember this. I am wanting you to lean into your fear. I'm wanting you to lean into your pain, express them. I'm also wanting you to lean into the unknown and take action. So this slide here says, bridge the gap between perception and reality. My opinion and the way I coach people is, the quickest way to bridge that gap is to go check the story, to go lean into the unknown. So again, I remember saying this on stage at boot camp. If you feel like your writing, the narrative in your head is that your writing is not good enough, submit it to somebody and ask for feedback and see what they say. At least you'll have the reality. If you have work to get done, at least you'll know what you have to work on. But you might also find out that your work, your writing was good enough. Right? But again, you've wasted weeks, months, and in some instances, years, right? Because you've been stuck in this unknown. So again, this idea of mindset, I think far too many of us, me included, have spent endless hours in the unknown, which affects our mindset, right? So I want you to take action in the upcoming year in 2020 and at the end of the year. So this idea of and that Pam just put up here, the only thing that I want to say about this is I think sometimes I coach people and they talk about I'm so scared and the rest of it, and they just get stuck in that. And what I want to propose to you is that you can be fearful and brave simultaneously. So this is that idea of taking action. So if you go back to the very beginning of this, I want you to settle into your fear, and then I want you to be brave and take action and close the gap on that reality versus perception. When I first started my gig 10 years ago, I was scared as heck, but now I say humbly, I recognized that I was pretty dang brave back then too, because I took the first steps and here I am, right? Lucky enough to be working closely with AWAI. So I want you to lean that. It's not either or, guys. You don't either need to be gangbuster, positive mindset, brave, or scared. You can be both simultaneously. And I think that's just an important point. Okay. So here's what I'd say. I wanted you to level set. I really wanted to level set. So really what this slide is all I'm trying to propose in this short time that we have together is that I think you need to come from a place of truth and reality when starting to set goals and thinking about what you want to get done in 2020. So truth would be that you're scared or whatever it may be. And then the reality is that you start to lean in and take action and really figure out the truth of your place in life and your place in your writing career, et cetera. So SMART goals. In the beginning of this webinar, I said to you that I was going to be somewhat redundant. If you've seen me on stage at boot camp or if you've heard me on these webinars, this is the place that I was referring to. You've seen this before, but here is the truth of this. This is one of those things that you've seen from me or from other people probably dozens of times. The question that I have for you today is, have you implemented it? Have you wrote down goals and actually measured them up against this SMART acronym? Because oftentimes I'm still coming across people. I've worked with people for 2 years, and then when we sit down and write 2020 goals, they're still giving me goals like, I want to lose weight. That's not specific. I want to write more. That's not specific. I want to go make $120,000 next year. That's not realistic. You haven't made a dime yet writing. So why are you making goals? Because when you don't hit that unrealistic goal, you're going to quit in March. And so I really want you guys to write this acronym down and really understand it. Specific is an important one. When you write a goal down, it has to be as specific as you can make it. It needs to be measurable. So I use the one of losing weight because everybody's talking about that at this time of year. Measurable. Losing weight is not measurable. Losing 9 pounds by February is measurable, right? Achievable. This is one that I really want you to think about, because if it's not achievable and you're not getting there, my experience with people and coaching people after many years is that they quit. I don't want you quitting. Now, I don't want you lowballing your goals. I don't want you to set something that you're absolutely 100% going to hit, but I also don't want you to do the real stretch goal. Okay. Now, the R in SMART goals, I've seen it written both ways. Here it's written realistic. What I'm going to tell you, I'm going to scratch the realistic for this one, and I'm going to put recorded for today. I want you to write the goals down. So recorded, I really want you to think about that, because a lot of people, a goal in your mind is not as powerful as a goal written down. So I want you to be thinking about that one. And then also time. The idea of putting a time frame on it. So again, back to losing weight. I want to lose 9 pounds. If you heard me, I want to lose 9 pounds by February 30th. All too often, people are writing down goals without a time frame on them. Therefore, they can't really hold themselves accountable or have somebody hold them accountable to them. This happens in business all the time.
I was going to say, I'm sorry I clicked ahead, but I was trying to actually edit realistic to recorded. And I can't since I'm sharing my slides, but. Okay. Yeah, but that is a really good point. Yep. But realistic and achievable to me are very similar. So I like your twist on it. And, it's so true. If you don't, like a lot of people have a goal in their head, but if it's not written down and in your daily list of things to do and something you can check off and document your progress, it's really hard to know how you're doing and it's hard to stay focused. So, I know that Rebecca, for example, she has a daily post-it note with things to get done. And
I love it.
That's her daily, and it's all against the goals, the bigger goals that she has. So I love that recorded twist on this.
Yeah. The other thing, this is a little nuance. I mean, again, we could probably spend a half hour just on SMART goals. While it's very simple, it's not so easily applied. The idea of recorded, you got to put the goals somewhere where you're going to see them. So the example that I use here, if you guys have worked places and they've given you a review at the end of the year and they write down those SMART goals, oftentimes that review goes in a manila folder or in today's world, just on a folder on your computer. And that's it. It's not visible. You're not revisiting it, et cetera, et cetera. If you're not going back and checking on these goals and they're not visible to you, they're not going to come to fruition. Almost guarantee that. So what we want you to do is we want you to write only 3 to 5 goals. I do not and would not coach anybody that comes to me with a list of 15 to 20 goals for 2020. I want people to be a little bit more focused. I want think people. So on a webinar that I did recently for AWAI, I talked about keeping the main thing the main thing. I know at least Tim was on that webinar from Arizona. We talked about the main thing. You have to figure out what the main things are. So when you write down these goals, I want you to really clue into what are the main things that you're trying to achieve. Is it that you're just trying to get started in your writing career? Is it that you want to make $10,000, whatever it is? And then I want you to write 3 to 5 goals that will support those, just a couple of main things that you're trying to achieve in 2020. So just 3 to 5, not 15 to 20. Fair? All right. The next thing I want you to do is become accountable. So we can talk a lot about personal accountability, and that could be a whole different thing. What I would say to you, and everybody at AWAI has read the book QBQ. It is a short read. I would recommend it to anybody that is trying to build their career or wants to live a better and more fulfilling life. It literally is a short read. You can read it in 45 books. It's called QBQ by John Miller. Question behind the question, that's about personal accountability. Here, what we're trying to do is build in layers of accountability for you. And all we want you to do, as this slide says, is turn to someone you love and respect. Now, listen to those words that I put in there, love and respect. I don't want you to just go to your neighbor who you kind of talk to. I don't want you to go to somebody that you had a distant friendship. I want you to go with somebody that you love and respect and that those feelings are reciprocated, meaning that there's mutual respect, because that is going to be somebody that, one, you respect them to hold you accountable, but also you're not going to want to let them down. It just becomes a little bit more powerful. So I want you to pick somebody of meaning in your life to hold you accountable. And then I want you to, if you just click it there, Pam, I want you to let them know what your goals are. So those SMART goals, I want you to let them know specifically what you're working on, what's the time frame that you're working on, and this is a very important one. So I don't want you to just ask them. I want you to tell them what you need. So in other words, if I was working with Pam and Pam was my accountability partner, I would say, okay, Pam, I'm working on losing 9 pounds by September. What I need from you is to call me Friday and ask me if I drank any soda this week. That's it. That's what I need from you, because I don't want to lie to you and say I did or, you know, I didn't if I really did. So be specific in your ask. So tell them they need to call you every morning. Tell them to call you at 7 o'clock in the morning to get your butt up to go walking on the treadmill. Whatever it is you need from them to hold you accountable, ask that specifically. And then the last thing I suggest to people often is, and put something at stake. So Pam, I'm making this commitment to you that I'm going to reach this goal. I'm asking you to specifically do X, Y, and Z to hold me accountable. And if I don't, I am going to make a $150 donation to your favorite charity. If I do make it, what are you going to do for me? So you're making a deal there, right? And it doesn't have to be monetary. Don't take that. Here I hate raking leaves in the fall in Maryland. I would tell Pam, you're going to bag my leaves, right? Whatever it's going to be, but put something at stake. It just makes it more fun, but it also raises the game a little bit.
Now, I was thinking about this for copywriters, and everybody has someone in their life that they can talk to, but You can also add to this a relevance in the copywriting world. Find some buddies in the copywriting universe who get what you're trying to do. Because a loved one, like I would turn to my sister and tell her a goal, a personal goal. But if I was telling her about a copywriting goal I had, she may not understand what that world is like or what that even means. And so I highly encourage you to partner up with a few buddies that you find in our online Facebook groups to partner up and be accountable to each other. Penny Hunt, who I'm featuring in this slide, she made the leap from another career and came to boot camp and found some buddies. She connected with people at boot camp and they formed an accountability group that's called the Accountability Group. She said to me, you know, she's come a long way since she joined us maybe 4 years ago. She actually manages some of our copy reviews. She does writing for us. She is a lovely teacher and she writes for clients. And she said, you know, without the helpful support and feedback from her group, where she could openly discuss her dreams, goals, and her plan of action to achieve them, she honestly wouldn't have done it alone and would not have achieved all of that she's doing today. She said, I love my accountability group. They truly are dear friends now. I have seen them together collectively at events that we have. We had a Circle of Success meeting in Baltimore earlier this year, and she drove along with one of her accountability partners up to the event. And they're truly compadres in everything, in making this work for them, making this career and this writer's life work. So I think it's huge to have a group like that and partners who get what this whole world is about. I have one more example, Steve Maurer.
Go ahead. I'm just going to chime in here.
Please do.
And, you know, you are the ultimate example of the power of an accountability group with your story. So maybe just take a second there to talk about how that's transformed your life and how important those people still are to you all these years later.
Sure. So, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't even want to say, I was working in corporate America and pretty miserable, and I wanted to get out, and I was writing copy, but I was in a major corporation and it was just painful to be there every day. I just felt like there's got to be a better way to make a living as a writer than this. And I discovered AWAI and I went to their first boot camp and I met a few other people. I met lots of people, but there were a few of us that started congregating together regularly, walks on the beach in the morning, planning lunch together. And there were five or six of us and we decided to join, form a group, and then stay in touch after boot camp and really help each other. We were all coming from different careers for the most part and different jobs, and we wanted to make the leap as freelance writers. So we formed a group called the Delray Motivators because our annual boot camp is in Delray Beach, Florida. And we checked in with each other and we emailed each other copy that we were working on. Can this be stronger? And everybody would chime in with ideas to make it stronger. If we got a client lead, we'd say, what do I do? And we would help each other with our first clients, how we propose our services and all of that. And each one of us grew and it became lifelong friends. I talk to them all the time. It's amazing how much that support, because think of it this way, as a freelance writer, you're very much a solopreneur. You're working alone. You're in your office. I'm in my office at home here. I don't have colleagues around me. And so this community is your work family. And that's precious and wonderful. And I want you to take full advantage of that because we all support each other and we get what we're all trying to do. And there's nothing like it. So you're never alone, really, as an entrepreneur, freelancer, solopreneur. You're not alone. You have us and you have the community that's part of us. So I want you to keep that in mind. It definitely made a huge difference in my life. And we just keep trying to perpetuate that for everybody else. So now I want to just tell you Steve's story because he comes from a whole different type of mission. He still works full time at a company where he's in industrial manufacturing. And so that's how he positioned himself. He's a copywriter for industrial manufacturing because he really gets that world. But he said, trying to do this alone was really not that much fun. And he said, my accountability group, again, I think they formed at boot camp, helped me make and achieve higher goals than I felt comfortable making alone. As a result, this is my favorite part, my writing income this year, this is freelance writing on the side, has already surpassed my day job income by 10%. And that was as of a week ago, late November. So he still could increase his freelance income even more than his day job. And eventually he wants to make the shift to full-time freelancer. But right now it's just an awesome extra income for his life, his family. And with the accountability group, it's pushed him to reach those goals and keep going and becoming better and better at his craft. So I wanted to show that example too as a good copywriter model.
Well, I love this. The Steve one, the interesting thing, it makes me think, if you get into a accountability group or you form one, I think you should get with people that you have good synergy with, but also this idea of consistency, because Steve's group has been with each other for years. And I know that I've actually been on the phone with that group last year. So they are the real deal, this group right here. Like, they have taken it to the next level. They invited people like me to join their accountability group to give them my take on X, Y, and Z. But they've been walking alongside each other for years at this point. It wasn't just like, hey, let's get together for a couple of times and So that's the kind of people that you want in your corner.
Yep. And they all were kind of coming from the same place. They were all new to this world, making big leaps from another, you know, industry or job. And that's cool too, because they're all starting in a similar place. So anyway, I highly encourage you to find people in this community to connect with and be accountable to.
All right. So we've already gone through that. I mean, the accountability buddies, we want to run through that. I want to go through this idea of this change curve.
Yep. I just want to quickly tell everybody who isn't part of a classroom Facebook group yet. We do have a couple of open groups that are open to anyone. These are the two of them. You can just go in Facebook and type in professional writers and you'll find that one, or online copywriters. And there are hundreds and thousands of people. I think professional writers has 6,000 members. I know you can find someone there who shares your mission and will be happy to connect with you. Okay. Enough about that.
One more. I know we've got to keep moving, but I love Joyce, and I love Joyce's story. She just wrote in the Q&A that her group has been together for 5 years now.
Love it.
Boot camp, and I consider them all dear friends. Copywriting supports, yes, but friends first. We support each other in every way imaginable. Even those who can't meet with us every week are still part of the family. And that I have seen time and time again. This relationship, this world that we're in, these connections, they really spill over into all forms of life, everything that's going on in our lives, and, you know, become business partners, become, you know, deep trusted friends. And anyway, thanks Joyce for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Is that Joyce Holman?
Yeah.
Oh, hey Joyce. That's my
Hi,
buddy.
Joyce. I know Joyce it too. She's buddy. Wonderful. Yep. We're both Mainers.
All right. I want to run through this last piece for you real quick, because this is the change curve. Some of you may have seen this, but I'm going to guess either a larger majority have not. I'm going to run through it quickly because we're at the end of this webinar. We want to open up for some questions. But here's the main reason I want to do this. As you embark about creating change in your life, so we talked about creating this mindset, leaning into fear, creating these new goals for 2020, whether it just be the first quarter of 2020 or all the way through the year. I want to present this to you because this is the natural order of emotion that you're going to go through, that most people go through when they go to create change.
And I'm so going to put the whole thing up, Ted, so we can see what it looks like in its entirety and you can walk through. No?
Nope. I'd rather.
Okay.
Not.
You'd rather I didn't. Okay. I thought it would be easier the other way. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to walk them through this idea.
Okay.
So if you think about creating a change, you've written down this goal. I'm just going to use the one that I've been using. I think I said 9 pounds by the end of February, right? But think about the goals that you wrote down. And by the way, this can go for groups or businesses as well. When a business goes to transform their technology, they'll go through this same emotion. And I really want you to be able to recognize this. So the first one, when you get the goal down on paper, and I'm pumped now, right? Like, I'm going to go lose 9 pounds by February. I'm excited. My clothes are going to fit differently. I'm going to have more energy. all of that stuff and you get really optimistic. But notice the word before optimism. It's uninformed. Uninformed optimism goes back to that one of those first slides of that perception, and there's a gap there between reality. The truth of the matter is you only have written the goal down on paper. It's all you've done. You really don't know. I mean, you have an idea or some semblance in your head of what it's going to take to achieve this goal, but you really don't know what life's going to hand you. You don't really know how it's going to feel. You don't know a lot. There's so many variables. So therefore, you're actually uninformed optimism. That's what you're experiencing then. As you travel down the curve, so in the example that I'm using, Pam, you can hit that button. As you travel down the curve, now if I'm losing that 9 pounds by February, it's the third week in January. I live in Maryland. It's cold. I'm trying to get out of the house at 5:30 in the morning. It's dark outside. It's 17 degrees. Woo! This is not as lovely as I thought it was going to be on December 31st when I met this goal. I was really optimistic. Friday night comes around. My boys, Jackson and Maxwell, they want pizza. Well, I get them pizza. I can't have the pizza. So when you think about this in more serious terms, when you're thinking about something that you're trying to achieve in your career, oftentimes you start off really pumped up, and then you start realizing all the variables involved. Life takes its course, et cetera, et cetera. And you start to pessimism start. Can I really do this? And so I want you to think, but guess what, gang? The reason we're putting this up here for you today is that's normal. So when that starts to happen for you, I want you to think back to this webinar and go, I'm not alone. This is completely normal. I expected this. So I've often said to people that I coach, expectations are the root of all heartache. When you start having pessimism, I want you to reflect back here and remember, absolutely expected. Click that button. At the bottom of the curve, we say that is the crisis of meaning. Now, this is the one I really want you to clue into, because when you hit here, this is that gut check. Am I going to pursue my writing career, or am I going to click that button, Pam? Am I going to crash and burn? Now, here's what I want to say to you guys. If you're on this webinar, it's crystal clear to me that you are ambitious enough to go do this thing. However, when people, so I always use the example when talking about losing weight, at crisis of meaning, in the fourth week of January, in the second week of February, if you go to the gym, it is half as full as it was on January 1st. And I want you to think about that. All those people, dot, 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 they crashed and burned because they leaned into that pessimism. Maybe they didn't really realize what it was going to take. And that took over and they crashed and burned. I want you to realize that if you look at that upward slope right here, that is where the crux of the work that you're going to have to do to end, if you Pam hit, to end it informed optimism. In between crisis of meaning and informed optimism, for me, is everything. That's where resilience kicks in. That's where you're doing that gut level work and being very introspective about how you're feeling and your fear and setting your goals, et cetera, et cetera. But that's where the work is done to create change. The main thing that I want you to take from this today, and I know I'm rushing through it, is simply that this curve is natural order. You will go through this. And oftentimes when you're trying to create one change, you may go up and down these slopes several times before you get to your goal. But remember, expectations are the root of all heartache. Expect this, gang. Last slide. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. So that's just a little kick in your butt. I want you to look back. If you've ever done any reading or research on people that come to the end of their life and they talk about regret, and I don't want to talk about that in a morbid way, but I actually do a lot of reading about that. I don't want you to look back, particularly at 2020, and say you didn't do what you were supposed to do to propel you into your writing career, to live a more fulfilling life, et cetera, et cetera. So start today. Today, what we're proposing that you do is that you settle in, you set your truth, you set your reality, and you start to set some practical goals. That's really all that we threw at you today. So I think we'll just open it up for any questions, if anybody has questions or comments at this point.
Yes, we do have some great questions. I'm sorry I was caught up. Oh, Cynthia just sent a very heartfelt message, and this is just what she needed. And an accountability group is just what she needs. So, Cynthia, we're here for you, and definitely start with the Facebook groups. They're fun. They're active. There's people that want to connect with you. So I highly, highly recommend that. First question we have here is, Kathleen, this came a little bit early in the conversation. She'd like you to define intentions. You know, what's the difference in your opinion between goals and intentions? Do you set your, and when you set an intention, what do you mean by that?
Yep. So I set an intention every morning. I hope this helps, and please be ready to type yes or no. So I set an intention every day to make my wife's life easier. That's my intention. That's not my goal. My goals lead up to, so my goal of the day is to get that one load of laundry done, folded, and put away. That would be my goal. That is lining up with my intention, but my intention is to make her life easier, to let her know that I love her, et cetera, et cetera. But intention is up here. Goals support the hierarching intention. So that's what I mean. But when I coach people about leaning into intention, what is your true intention? Right. Okay. There's a difference there.
Okay. And Kathleen, if you want any further clarification, just let us know. Miriam would like to ask if you would say that a winning mindset is different than the generic positive mindset.
No, it's interesting, Miriam. I'm glad you asked that question. That's what I was trying to stray away from today. I think there's been too much talk about like creating the winning mindset. And I was just trying to take a little bit deeper. I don't think the winning mindset is different than the positive mindset, but I don't think that takes the whole picture. That type of thinking, like create the winning mindset, be positive thinking. I agree with that stuff, but I don't think that's reality. And that's what I was trying to highlight today. And again, it's not that I don't think you should have a winning mindset or a positive mindset, but like, let's all face it. Katie, you're scared. I'm scared. You have fear. I have fear. Miriam, you have fear. Can we talk about that stuff too? Because that all plays into it.
And this kind of ties in with, I love how this is all feeding off each other. Mark is asking, does Ted think people set unrealistic goals as a form of self-deception? In other words, if they know on some level it's not achievable, that they don't have to then get real about it. And I think that ties in, you know, it's the part of those mind games we all play.
I agree with that. To that point, I think people do two things with the goals. I think they do unrealistic goals and say, well, I wasn't going to make it anyway, or it was unrealistic. But I also think people create goals and they don't know why.
Right.
They just say, I want to go do X, Y, and Z, and they don't know how it feeds back into their life. So one of the things that I often say to people is that I want you to reverse engineer. I want your writing the career to feed your life, right? So when you create these goals, I really want you to know what you're trying to achieve with them. Don't just go say for generically, I want to go make $100,000. If you don't know what that means, you're going to be less motivated when it gets tough. If you know what that $100,000 means, but you've really been introspective and thought about it, I think that goal is going to be more powerful when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's great. So Mark had to leave for an appointment, but he wanted to thank you for the presentation. He's writing from a VA hospital, and I'm learning many of the things. Oh, wow. And he's in a PTSD program as well, including SMART goals. He's just very grateful and thankful. And
awesome.
And this has resonated with quite a few people I'm seeing. You know, I see some people are writing in chat. If you could write in the Q&A, it just keeps it easier for us not to have to jump back and forth. But this leaning in definitely has struck a chord with people.
Well, gang, you know, I wish we had 3 hours here today because Katie and Pam know, to be completely transparent, do we not talk about this behind the scenes at AWAI?
All the time.
And I have just found in my own life, like, again, not discounting positive mindset, but that idea of I think I can do the positive. For many years, people used to look at me like you're talking about you're wallowing in pain or you're wallowing in fear and all the rest of it. I'm like, look around me. I'm happy. 90% of the time. I'm just not willing anymore to say, push this down, because it's actually holding me back.
Yeah.
So I think that's the message that, you know, we could dive deep into it, but that's what I wanted people to grab today.
Great. Mark's going to share this with a friend. Jan is thanking you as well. And she's asking, how do you hone or prioritize several goals? That's a great question.
Okay. What's the main thing? Right. And so again, this is a deeper dive, and again, we're going to do more webinars, but from your comments, we'll create content around it. But here's what I'd say to that question. You have to figure out what your main thing is. And so for some people, and I'll use this as an example, for some people, their main thing is to store enough money away to pay 3 months of bills because they can't leave their job because. Well, guess what? In that, if that's going to get you to be able to concentrate on writing, your main thing is to go make money. That's it. I'm not going to talk to you about writing more. I'm not going to talk to you anything more. You have to get your house clean first. And so you have to decide what your main thing is, what's right in front of you that you got to get clean with. So again, if your goals are way over here, but you still have all this stuff regarding bills getting paid, et cetera, you're creating the wrong goals. Right? So you really have to decide what are the, that's why I said, you have to decide what are the main things that you want to achieve in 2020, and then your goals have to support those main things. And all of you I'm using real examples just to be honest with you. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, I really want to jump into this writing career, but I can't afford it. I have to go make money. I got to continue to make this money. And I said, well, let's come up with a financial plan to give you a 3-month cushion so then you could concentrate on it. Then we can lean into it and see what happens. Right. And so, again, what is the main thing?
Yeah, great. Let's see. Derek has really more of a customer service question. So, Derek, we don't get off track here, I'm going to recommend that you reach out to member services. You can either call them or email. They'll be happy to help you. And we do have a program about writing for the Christian market, which will probably be a great fit for you.
Oh, cool.
Let's not get off there. Oh, here's the million-dollar question. How do you maintain initial enthusiasm and energy? That's all part of that cycle we talked about, but, I mean, there's no magic button.
Well, here's what I said in the beginning, guys, and again, not the typical coach getting up here and getting all pie. It's not – you're not going to.
Right.
That's the answer. And that's just the truth of it. So any coach that's telling you differently is lying to you. I mean, I'm just straight shooting you. Like, you're not going to maintain that level of enthusiasm. What I want you to be is acutely aware that it's normal not to. The question is, when you get to that point, are you going to be resilient enough to go completely normal? I have to reset. I need to articulate this. Again, one of the things that I didn't really get into is, when you're feeling that fear, that love, that person that you love and respect, you should be articulating that to them. It's going to free you up. So, but again, the answer is you're not going to maintain it. So right. Next to that, the other coin, when we talk about positive mindset, yes, you need to lean into your why, your deeper meaning. It's something that I've talked on about stage. If you've been around me, you've seen my kids. Like, yes, I want you to lean into those things that fill you up here that are going to motivate you through those tough times. But the reality is, you're not going to be able to maintain that initial level of enthusiasm. It's just truth.
Yep. Here's another really great question that I'm sure is on a lot of people's mind is, you know, how do you figure out what's a realistic financial goal when you're just starting out?
Yep. Again, deeper into the pool, right? So what I would coach people to do, and I do coach people to do, I literally go through their financial picture. Now, again, I'm saying this is deeper in the pool, not necessarily for this webinar, but where are you? So you talk about bridging a gap, reality versus perception. I literally have people write down all their bills and come up with, what is your monthly nut? Do you have a savings account? Do you have an emergency fund? I know I'm getting pretty practical here, but this is what it requires. This is what it requires. I never signed up, just to be completely fair with you. I've never signed up to be a financial coach. But I have found myself in recent years talking about money with clients more and more and more because it's real. It's a real conversation. And so what I'd say to you is to set realistic financial goals, you have to know exactly where you are. You would have to know next to that, what kind of money does it take for you to live? And then what kind of things do you need extra money for, whether it be a kid's college or a trip that you want to take, or you want to buy a bigger house or whatever it is? What is that? And then come up with that number. The biggest mistake I think people have made, both in business and in life, is that they make either unrealistic financial goals or financial goals that don't mean anything to their life. They just go, I just want to go make as much money as I want to make. That is a big mistake. Or they don't even pay attention to their immediate financial picture. So again, that's a big question. But my first, the initial, you got to start figuring out exactly where you are and what you need financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah.
Odd job, Rob. Hard for me to say. Would like to know what the pen and ink drawing is behind you on your wall there.
Oh, man. Well, if you know me, you can't really see it, but in the corner there, in loving memory of Frederick W. Capshaw, that's my dad. So that is, if you know the Man of La Mancha, Don Quixote, the play, if you've ever heard of that play, when I was a young boy, not a young boy, but getting into my teens, my dad called me the modern day Man of La Mancha, Don Quixote. It was his favorite character. So this picture is the picture that when he was a college president, this hung behind him, in his office. And now it hangs behind me in my office. Yeah. So if you look up Man of La Mancha, you might really understand why it means something to me, but it's a story of a guy that went out and the impossible dream is the theme song to that play.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that with us, Ted. Chris, here's another one of these questions. we lost that. Oh, Chris, I'm sorry. But I'm sorry. If somebody can just tell me what Chris's question was. I don't think it got answered, and I want to get that answered. Okay. There's 720-232-396. Again, this is another member services question. The answer is yes, but why don't you just reach out to somebody in member services, tell them I said yes, and you'll be good to go.
Katie?
Yes?
Chris's question was, how do you keep distractions and procrastination from keeping...
These are all hour-long, they could all be hour-long questions, answers, but...
The biggest thing that I'll say to you about distractions, and you may have heard of this, but this whole concept of time blocking. Like, time blocking to me changes your life. And so, I have a very busy life. I have two young sons. I have a business. I have a wonderful clients. I have a wife that I love. I have this, but I got a million things going on. I work out 7 days a week. Nothing stops me from working out 7 days a week. It is my time. I don't bring my phone. If I'm bringing my phone, I'm listening to an iPod or music. That's time blocking. The reason why I'm bringing it up in that way is that if you time block between 9 and 10 to write, nothing stops you barring an emergency. And when I say emergency, I don't mean like, you know, whatever, you found out you didn't have milk in the fridge. I mean an emergency. So time blocking for me, the mistake people make is they time block their whole day. They schedule their whole day and they don't leave room for all the things that life throws up. I coach people to time block 2 or 3 hours a day to focus on the main things. That's it. So you're not going to keep distractions coming. Again, life throws all kinds of things at us every day, the unknowns, everything else. But start with time blocking, you know, just 60 to 90 minutes a day and be extremely intentional about what you're working on in that time and let nothing get in your way. Nothing. Don't answer emails. If you hear your phone dinging like a text, don't answer the text. Don't do any of that. So time blocking is a very, very powerful tool. You will not ever be able to manage all the distractions and the unknowns in a day. Mm-hmm. You just won't.
Yeah. Good. Okay. We're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to just do a last call. If anybody has, let's take two or three more if anybody has anything that we haven't covered yet.
I just wanted to say a couple of people were asking about getting clients. And if you go back to our Inside AWAI page, we've done full sessions on getting clients, several of them, a whole variety of them, including a LinkedIn one that's just only about LinkedIn, but there were several. So that's a great place to start because they're free. They're very comprehensive. And I think you'll get a lot of your questions answered if you check them out.
And also, I saw a question also about just getting started, what to do first. You know, I definitely check out, I would check out the AWAI method. If you have the accelerated copywriting course, that's on your member page, and it's also on your member page with some of our other programs. I highly recommend that. But also in the Inside AWAI, and the Inside AWAIs, there's a great one on a roadmap. And that's where we break down the, okay, first you do this, then you do this, then you do that. And, you know, follow them. They work, and reach out for support. And, you know, just let us know if you have any questions. Don't let fear or overwhelm stop you. We're real good at getting you to the next step. So let us help you with that. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Ted, thank you so much. It's always great to hear this again. I was making some notes and revisiting my goals while we were doing this, and I'm going to spend some time on that this afternoon. And this was cool. A great charge.
Cool. Well, look, everybody, thanks for having me. Thanks for joining. I'm hoping to see everybody on this webinar at Bootcamp, no doubt in May, but in the interim,
go ahead. We really only have about, I think it's like 30 or 40 spots left. I mean, it's like record.
No surprise.
Record, but Ted will be there. Pam will be there. We'll all be there. It's going to be amazing.
But talking about keeping the main thing, look, everybody, have a wonderful holiday with your family and friends. Much love to you guys from AWAI's Corner. And just have a wonderful and peaceful and quiet, hopefully, holiday.
And Odd Job Rob is asking, how do you sign up for Bootcamp? If you go to our website and awai.com/bootcamp, that'll get you there. So, okay. Yes.
Cool.
And happy holidays to all, and peace and love and goodwill in 2020, the year of the copywriter. Somebody had written in there, this is going to be her year. I think.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. All right, guys. Bye. Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.